Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
If you're a believer, you've probably learned that biblical truths are rarely portrayed accurately in movies and TV. And that's certainly the case with heaven. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah shares more evidence from God's Word on why heaven won't be the stuffy, dull place that it's often portrayed in the media. Here's David to introduce the conclusion of his message. Won't heaven be boring?
So I want you to do something for me as we begin this program today. I want you to take a moment and think about the happiest moment you ever had in your whole life. Got it? Well, heaven will be a million times better than that every day. Hard to imagine the joy, the sheer joy of being in heaven. And that's what the Bible tells us is going to happen when we get there. We will have joy at the presence of God. And I would like more than anything else for all of you who are listening to me today to be sure that you're going to heaven. At the end of our program, I'm going to tell you how you can be sure, and I hope you'll stay in tune until we do that. Today, we're going to finish up what we started yesterday as we answer this question, won't heaven be boring? And we're talking about some of the things that are going to happen when you're in heaven. We're so excited about this material and the excitement that we feel in our hearts as we tell you what God has planned for those who love Him. So, will heaven be boring? I don't think so. And here's some more information to help you arrive at that conclusion as well.
One of the exciting things about heaven will be the unlimited opportunity to fellowship with people of the various ages of history. Just think about it for a moment. There have been many people who have lived at different times who, if they had lived at the same time, would have been fast friends. But because they didn't live at the same time, they couldn't be friends. In heaven, that's all going to go away. Why would that not be possible in heaven when all of us will be there and it won't make any difference when we lived on earth? It'll make all the difference that we're in heaven living together. So we could be fast friends with people we've only read about in books. I'd like to have a great friendship with David and Joseph and Daniel from the Old Testament. Those are my three favorite people. I'd like to have someone walking down the streets of gold and say, "Oh, there's Joseph." And when they walk up to Joseph, have Joseph say, "You know what? I just had some angel food cake with David Jeremiah." Wouldn't that be great? I'd like to meet Jabez and ask him if he ever dreamed Bruce Wilkinson would make him so famous. I'd love to cultivate a relationship with Paul the Apostle and John the Beloved. I have quoted them so many times, I would like to personally thank C.S. Lewis and Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Andrew Murray, A.W. Tozer, and many others. Heaven's going to be such an incredible time of unlimited fellowship with people who've lived at all ages. But we're going to live together in community and be able to fellowship with one another forever and ever and ever. And as great as all of this is, it pales into insignificance when it is compared to being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Heaven will not be boring, first of all, because God is not boring. Heaven will not be boring because you won't be boring. Heaven won't be boring because none of your friends will be boring. Here's the fourth reason. Heaven won't be boring because your work in heaven won't be boring. You say, "Oh my goodness, we have to work in heaven?" Well, I may be a little bit weird, but I'll tell you what, heaven without anything to do, without any work, I would be struggling with that. I love what I do so much. I just am anticipating that though I'm not going to have any souls to redeem in heaven, that God's going to find a way to use a preacher in heaven in some productive way, so that I can maintain my desire to continue to serve Him with the gifts He's given me. You know, one of the interesting things about the book of Revelation, and a lot of people don't see this when they read it the first time, but one of the interesting things about the book of Revelation is, over and over in the book, there is a repetition of this thought of serving in heaven. And why we don't understand that, why we don't get that, is just because we don't read it carefully. And I thought I'd just give you two or three of these verses so you can see what I mean. Heaven will not be boring because your work will not be boring. Revelation 7:15 says, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Revelation 22:3 says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Revelation 1:1, he sent and signified it by his angel to the servant John. Revelation 7:3, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Revelation 11:18, that you would reward your servants, the prophets and the saints. Revelation 15:3, they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God. Revelation 19:5, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, ye his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. Revelation 22:6, the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. When we get to heaven, we're going to be the servants of the living God. Servants work. They have an occupation. They have a responsibility. What is God going to say to us when we get to heaven? He's not going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Take the rest of eternity off. He's not going to say that. You know, that's what a lot of people believe. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to what? Enter into the joy of your Lord. I have seen your faithfulness over a few things, and what's the rest of it? I will make you ruler over many. Now, that doesn't sound to me like we're sitting around forever and ever. God's got something for us to do. First of all, in the millennial period, which is 1,000 years, we're going to rule and reign with Christ upon this reconfigured earth. But throughout eternity, I know that God has a great plan for every one of us to be wonderfully and happily and excitedly and unboringly employed in serving the Lord. David Gregg has observed that our service in heaven will be like this. It is work free from care and free from toil and free from fatigue. Work up there is a matter of self-relief as well as a matter of obedience to the ruling will of God. It is work according to one's taste and delight and ability. If tastes vary there, if abilities vary there, then occupations will vary there. All of us will be serving in the fullest expression of the capacity that God has given us and the giftedness he has put within us. However that works out in your life or in mine, we will discover it. Perhaps that's what Rudyard Kipling meant when he wrote these interesting lines of poetry. He said, when Earth's last picture is painted and the tubes are twisted and dried, when the oldest colors have faded and the youngest critic has died, we shall all rest and faith we shall need it, lay down for an aeon or two, till the master of all good workmen shall put us to work anew. In his book, The Biblical Doctrine of Heaven, Wilbur Smith said, in heaven we will be permitted to finish many of these worthy tasks which we had dreamed to do while on this earth, but which neither had time nor ability to accomplish. Ray Stedman says, there will be new planets to develop, new principles to discover, new joys to experience. Every moment of eternity will be an adventure of discovery. And then someone else has asked these questions. What will it be like in heaven to perform a task, to build and create, knowing that what we're doing will last forever and ever? What will it be like to always be gaining skills so that our best work will always be ahead of us, because our minds and bodies will never fade and because we will never lack resources and opportunity? Our work won't degenerate. Buildings won't last for only 50 years, and books won't be in print for only 20 years. They'll last forever and ever and ever. So whatever you do in heaven will have eternity stamped all over it. What would it change in your way of thinking about what you do today if you knew that everything you did, every ounce of energy you expended in your work, would last forever and ever and be forever and ever a blessing and encouragement to all of those who saw it. What a legacy. That's the legacy we'll have in heaven. Our work won't be boring, it will be exciting. And I have more to say about that in another message when I talk about what we're going to do in heaven. But we won't be bored in heaven because our work won't be boring. Now, are you with me so far? Heaven's not going to be boring because God's not boring. Heaven's not going to be boring because you're not boring. Heaven's not going to be boring because your friends won't be boring. And heaven won't be boring because your work won't be boring. And I have one last one. This is the most important one of all. And here it is. Heaven won't be boring because heaven is the place you have always longed for. And I want to develop this for just a moment at the close of this message, because this to me explains a lot of things that go on in our hearts and in our minds even today. Romans 8, 22 and 23 says this: "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." What does that mean? Paul was not writing here about unbelievers. He was talking about all of us, and he is saying that within us as Christians, listen to me now, there is a hunger, there is a desire for something that's deep down within us, that even though we know Jesus and he has come to fulfill the major need in our life, there's still something missing because we haven't been fully redeemed. We have not yet experienced all that God has for us. And God has put within us this longing for something more. Ecclesiastes tells us in the third chapter that God has put eternity in our hearts. And what that means is that God has built us as believers with a space within us that can't be satisfied with anything except eternity. And while we try to put temporal things in that space, they fill it up somewhat, but they always leave a bit of a cavity that makes us longing and yearning for something more. And I think I can help you understand that as I explain to you what I know all of us have experienced. Peter Toon writes it this way. He said, "The most tragic strain in human existence lies in the fact that the pleasure which we find in the things of this life, however good that pleasure may be in itself, is always taken away from us. The things for which men strive hardly ever turn out to be as satisfying as they expected. And in the rare cases in which they do, sooner or later, they are snatched away." Another writer put it this way: "Here is the surprise. God has made us this way. He made us to yearn, to always be hungry for something we can't get, to always be missing something we can't find, to always be disappointed with what we receive, to always have an insatiable emptiness that no thing can fill, and an untamable restlessness that no discovery can still. Yearning itself is healthy, a kind of compass inside of us, pointing us toward true north." Have you ever worked, men, for a promotion, and you poured everything you had into doing everything that was required to get it, and finally the day came and the word came down that you had been given that promotion, and the next week you walk into your new office with a thing you've been working on for 20 years, and you sit down behind your desk, and while there's a sense of exhilaration, there's also this sense of, is this all there is? You say, well, there must be something wrong with me. No, you're very normal. You're very, very the way you should be. That's the way God has created us. You see, he created all of us with this deep-seated hunger within us for heaven and for God. And it can never be fulfilled no matter what we try, even as believers, as much as we serve the Lord and as much joy there is in preaching and teaching and all the thing God has given me to do, there's still a longing in my heart for something. There's a place that itches that I can't scratch. And it's heaven. And until I get to heaven, it will never be what it should be. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, "Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exist. A baby feels hunger. Well, there's such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there's such a thing as water. Men feel sexual desire. Well, there's such a thing as sex. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And if none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not mean the universe is a fraud. Earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it and to suggest the real thing. When I get to heaven, that ache is going to go away. When I get to heaven, everything I do will bring me absolute perfect satisfaction and reward. When I get to heaven, I will never engage in anything that leaves me feeling even a tad bit empty. When I get to heaven, everything I do will bring me absolute and total fulfillment and joy. The reason you aren't going to be bored in heaven is because heaven is everything you've been looking for. And when you get there, the first day there, you know what your biggest expression is going to be? Aha! Oh! So this is what this is. Because none of us on this earth have ever experienced it like we're going to experience it the first day in heaven. So heaven will not be boring. Because heaven is the answer to the deepest longings in your heart and in mine. Only in heaven will we finally feel the completeness that we were created to enjoy. So let's go back over this. Heaven will not be boring because God is not boring. Heaven will not be boring because you will not be boring. Heaven is not boring because your friends are not boring. Heaven is not boring because your work's not boring. And heaven's not boring because it's finally the place you've always looked for all of your life. Don't you ever tell me heaven's boring. Don't you let anybody tell you, because now you know better. Heaven is going to be the most exciting, adventure-filled place your mind can imagine, stretched out to 100,000 times. No, heaven will not be boring. You want to see boring? Think about what it would be like to be locked up in solitary confinement forever and ever, and never again to have any friendships or relationships with anyone, anywhere. Think about being left alone for eternity with your thoughts and your regrets and your memories of missed opportunities. This is what the Bible says about those who miss heaven. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, don't ever forget this verse. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. We've all heard it from our friends. We've been victimized by it. Sometimes we've walked away with our head down because we didn't know what to say. But it usually goes like this. And I remember when I was working in the trucking industry as a seminary student, trying to work my way through school, and they called me the preacher boy every time I'd come to work. Oh, here comes the preacher boy. You know, once in a while when I was unloading freight trucks, they'd come, they'd stand in the truck, and they'd ask me all these questions. And one of the questions always came up, well, I can't believe you want to go to heaven. It's such a boring place. I'll tell you, Jeremiah, what I'm doing, man. I'm going to hell with all my buddies, and we're just going to have drinking parties night and day and play cards all the time and gamble, and we'll have all the women we want. Hell's where the fun is. You're going up to that boring place. They got it upside down. Because what the Bible teaches about hell is that there are no relationships. There are no friendships. We looked in on the rich man in hell. He was alone. And I believe that hell will be solitary confinement forever and ever with no relationships. There will be no partying. There will be no good times in hell. It will be a place of absolute misery and boredom for eternity. My friends, you don't want to go there. If you hunger and thirst for excitement, adventure, and enjoyment, don't you believe the devil's lie. Hell is not a place of fun and games where we spend forever drinking with our own buddies. Hell will have no community, no camaraderie, no friendships. Hell is boredom personified. And one of the reasons I am glad to be a preacher of the Word of God and to be able to tell you about heaven is because I'm hoping somehow I can describe it at least in some small way, the way the Bible does. so that there will be a desire on your part to go there. Certainly, there ought to be a desire on the part of everyone to escape solitary confinement forever and ever. And I want to tell you that the way you get to heaven is very simple. You believe what God said about it. And here's what God said about it. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And a few verses later, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. The way you get to heaven is by putting your trust in Jesus Christ and asking him to forgive your sin and give you the gift of eternal life. And you know what he says in his word? He has promised that he will never turn anyone away. If you come to the Lord in faith, believing, you say, well, I don't understand. You don't have to understand at all. Faith is not understanding everything. Faith is just believing the simple truth from God Almighty. He wants you to spend eternity with him in heaven. And all he wants you to do is believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross, and paid the penalty for all your sin. And because he was the God-man, he could die one-on-one for everybody who lives. His death was infinite. He was God dying on a cross for you and me. And he simply says, will you believe it? Will you accept it? Will you receive it? And if you will, you can be guaranteed in the here and now that you will spend eternity with God. You don't have to wait till you die to find that out. You can know it now. I'm not arrogant when I say, friends, I know I'm going to heaven. Because it's not about me. It's about him and what he did for me. He gave me the gift of eternal life, and I was just so anxious to receive it that I did it. And I have it. No one can ever take it away from me. And he's offering you that gift today, whoever you may be. My friend, you don't want to miss heaven. It's a wonderful place, and you surely don't want to spend eternity in hell. The choice is up to you, and it's a decision you make in the here and now. You can't wait until later. You have to make it now.
Over these last several days in my life personally, I have lost 4 friends who have left this life. Now, I really haven't lost them because I know where they are. But you know what I'm saying. 4 people that I care about deeply have died. And, you know, 1 or 2, maybe you don't think too much about it, but all of a sudden 4, and most of them were younger than I am. And I thought, you know, life is so uncertain. I am so glad that I have made my reservation in heaven. And I want to ask you, have you done that? The Bible says that you cannot go to heaven except through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through him. So have you put your trust in Christ? I told you at the outset of this broadcast I was going to tell you how to do that. Here's what you do. You acknowledge that you need God. You acknowledge that you need to be forgiven. So you confess your sin. You say, God, I have sinned. I have sinned against you. And I want to ask for forgiveness. I want you to forgive me for all of my sin. And please give me the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross and 3 days later came out of the grave and today offers me eternal life. If you will believe that and receive that and ask for it in prayer, you will become a Christian. And when you become a Christian, one of the first and great benefits is the assurance that heaven is in your future. Hey, if you make that decision, let us know and we'll send you some information that will help you get started in your new life. We'd love to do that. And we'll see you right here tomorrow as we talk about the ultimate extreme makeover.
Our message today originated from Shadow Mountain Community Church and Senior Pastor Dr. David Jeremiah. Please write and tell us how God is using Turning Point in your life. Write to us at Turning Point, Post Office Box 3838 San Diego, California 92163, or visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. Now when you do, ask for your copy of David's book Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven to be better informed about your amazing eternal home. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the English Standard and new international versions, and in standard or large print in the New King James, loaded with helpful notes and articles by Dr. Jeremiah. Visit davidjeremiah.org/radio for details. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. That's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.